I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, you talk back to us, your comments and emails, and the barbershop guys on this week's news. But first, it's time for our weekly Faith Matters conversation. The Abramson family draws some attention when they walk down the street. Why is that? Their dark skin color suggests they are African American, while their traditional attire identifies them as Hasidic Jews. In fact, they are both. They are among a small minority within a minority in the U.S. of Hasidic Jews of color. The Abramsons belong to the Chabad Lubavitch movement, one of the largest Hasidic movements in Orthodox Judaism. Earlier this week, I talked with Yosef, his sister Sarah, and their mother Dina during our trip to New York. Dina explained that her mother was Jewish, her father Panamanian. Her children's father is Egyptian. They all lived in Omaha, Nebraska, before moving to Crown Heights, Brooklyn, which is home to large numbers both of Blacks and Hasidic Jews. I talked with Dina about how she was raised and how she has navigated what are for some the difficult waters of racial and ethnic identity.
I was raised with my grandparents for a large part of my growing up years, and my grandmother instilled upon me that I was a Jewish girl. You're Jewish if your mother's Jewish, if her mother's Jewish. And so she instilled that at an early age, that that was what I was. And I participated in all of our Judaic culture. So that was what I knew. Upon the arrival of my children, they were taught the same thing. My grandmother happened to still be alive at the time, as was my mom. And so they weren't really exposed to anything but the Jewish culture.
So being Jewish is the core of your identity.
Right.
The color issue, secondary.
Exactly. Yeah, didn't even occur to me for many, many years.
But sometimes it occurs to other people who bring it to your attention.
That's the main part. It's that it's usually other people who are very observant of that and want to investigate that a little bit more. Right.
But, you know, growing up in Omaha, as I understand it, Omaha doesn't have either a particularly large Jewish community or a particularly large African-American community. Did you feel that you stood out, you and your family?
Not at all. The first time it was brought to my attention, I was in grade school, maybe second grade or third grade, and I'd had a birthday party. The school that I went to had a mixture of children of all racial identities. So I had a birthday party, and the kids that next Monday in school was laughing and said, you have to have, you know, white milk now. You can't have chocolate milk because your mom is white. They weren't saying it mean-spirited. It was joking, and I laughed even my own self, and we just kind of went on.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask the kids if they had the same understanding of growing up in Omaha, being both of color and Jewish. Sarah?
It never really made any difference to me. I only ever saw myself as being Jewish. It was never an issue in Omaha or even here.
Yosef, what about you?
The same. I always saw myself as just being a Jewish boy, and that's how I was raised, just to be Jewish.
So what prompted Dina the move to Brooklyn last year, right?
Actually, Sarah's been here for over 5 years. She had to come for seminary. Then she stayed, and she began working at a Chabad Early Learning Center. And so Yosef and I were still back in Omaha, still homeschooling Yosef. It was increasingly more difficult for him. All of his friends lived in New York. So finally, last year, I understood that I could no longer hold him back from his friends. And it was increasingly hard to live in a city where there wasn't a large community.
Have you always been Orthodox? Has your family always been raised as Orthodox?
No. All the way from, I guess, secular to traditional and the journey and then on to Orthodox.
But were you raised as Orthodox?
No, I was raised more traditional, knowing what I was and participating in the holidays, but not real observant.
What do you think motivated your embrace of the Orthodox tradition? Sometimes the kids lead on that.
Yeah, well, they were small, and I was already pretty much on the journey of exploring the more observant areas of my life and became exposed to the Rebbe, Rabbi Menachem Schneerson, and his teachings, the Lubavitch teachings. And it was resonating, agreeing with everything that I was at that point also becoming. That's when I kind of took that leap about 15 years ago, into becoming more observant and actually into the Hasidic lifestyle.
There's been some tension between the African-American community and the Jewish community in Crown Heights. This has gone on for years, far predates your move to the city. Do you ever feel like you're in the middle?
Not at all, because at this point, I know that a lot of people are reporting tensions, but there's really no tensions that I can feel. We walk the neighborhoods. There's no feel of tensions or racial tensions or anything like that. And actually, I've been speaking to my neighbors. I live in a mixed building, Jewish and non-Jewish, and there's really a calm. I don't think that it's anywhere near the 1991.
Yosef, what about you? Sometimes boys are more the target of tensions between groups than girls and women are, frankly.
Sure.
Do you ever feel that way?
No. I go to the park with my friends from school, and there's also mixed there, African-American and Jewish, and a lot of the boys even play together, so there's absolutely no tension.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with Dina, Sarah, and Yosef Abramson about their lives as Hasidic Jews of color living in Brooklyn, New York. A recent New York Times article describes a scene at an awards ceremony for an essay you had written in a competition sponsored by the Police Athletic League, and apparently an officer approached you to complain about your traditional headwear. Is that a common scenario for you, that people somehow don't see you as part of the community too? Because this is not an uncommon attire in New York, but apparently it raised eyebrows with this particular person. Does that happen to you?
Well, I think with that particular incident, it was more about maybe he didn't see it as my skin color, but more as what I was wearing.
But do you think it would have been that way if you were white?
Probably. I think that just from the way he even spoke, that he hadn't seen anything like that before with my fedora or jacket.
In New York?
Yeah, that's just the way it seemed to me.
Dina, what about you and the whole concept of... Well, go ahead. You wanted to ask
something. Well, I was going to say there was another police officer there who actually ended up being Jewish. He was familiar with the hat. He'd gone as a child. He wasn't Lubavitch or Hasidim, but he'd gone through a Lubavitch camp as a young boy. But he seen the zits, mm-hmm. the zitzits that Yossi had on. And so he knew, whereas this other
zitzits being, for people who don't know,
the fringes that...
In the corner
of the garment. Yeah.
That observant man wear.
Right. So he spotted those. And so he knew. And so he kind of walked this guy off to say, he's Jewish. Mm-hmm. I think that the particular police officer, it just went over his head. It wasn't really a racial thing so much as he just never even thought. And he just looked and he just said, oh, this teen is dressed like a gothic person or something.
What about marriage, Dina? You're all concerned that perhaps people won't see your kids as eligible marriage partners for a racial difference? Because sometimes, people are fine until it comes time for marriage, and then all of a sudden difference becomes not so fine.
Right. No, I don't. Our way of doing things is a little bit different than the world does. But there have been offers.
You expect a matchmaker be involved.
There will be a matchmaker that is involved. And there have been interest.
Offers?
previous offers.
Sarah, did you know about that?
The thought really never had occurred to me, but because these offers had come rather early, I don't have any real concerns. I suspect that anyone that would be really a Hasidim, a Lubavitcher person, it's really not a factor. Mm-hmm. So
I mean, you feel someone someone is sincere in his faith or her faith,
right,
would understand what's most important, which is the faith.
Yeah, exactly, which is the faith, right.
Mm-hmm. And the person.
Yeah,
right.
And the person. Personalities and the other mm-hmm. things that make you up. I don't think that your color at all defines who you are.
Is there something you feel that perhaps the rest of us could learn from your experience as people of two communities that are, in this city at least, often seen as at odds, and you belong to both? I mean, you identify with one. You don't really identify. I mean, would it be fair to say you don't really see yourself as African American? You see yourself as Jewish American who happens to be of color.
And let me premise that by saying there absolutely is nothing wrong with being African American, except for when I think of that, I think of a culture, which unfortunately I don't have a point reference. It's not my point reference. My reality was brought up as to be a Jew and in a Jewish home. And so that's the only culture that I've really ever adhered to, and for my children as well. So we do identify wholly with the Jewish community. What I would like for people to take from this particular interview is that it's the 21st century, and I think we should be. We're not, but we should be way beyond the color issue. And we should be looking at each other as who we are, as people, trying to make a society that is good for all, regardless to color.
Sarah, what about you? Is there anything you think that people can draw from your experience?
I think pretty much the same. You have to look at the person. It depends on each person. When I see someone, I don't really see what color they are. I just see this person. It's a nice person, a friendly person, a person that helps me. On the subway, there are many different people, and you cannot tell from where they originate from by colors. So it's this nice person helped me up the stairs when I was carrying a bag. Color is not a point of reference. So that's what I think most people should be educated in, learning on how each person is inside, not externally.
Yeah, I don't see color.
I think.
Do you have a final thought?
Well, I think that was the one huge attraction. Lubavitch, our teachings are that we're looking forward to a time when we are all people living in a time of peace and harmony. And I believe that this is the way that we get to that. My skin color doesn't mean anything about me, and we can get to know each other on a different level. We can live above that.
You've never been to an Hasidic function where somebody was like, what are you doing here?
Never. Never. Mm-hmm. I was going to say, because we identify completely with being Jewish, doesn't mean that we're ashamed of being brown or, you know, people of color. The color thing doesn't have, like I say, anything to really do with it. When I say African-American, the thing is that I think of the culture, which we can't really expound upon because we wouldn't have that much knowledge. Color-wise, well, of course, we're people of color. We're not denying or feeling bad or ashamed because we are this color. Of course not. We acknowledge that. We are Jews of color. But, I mean, it doesn't make us any less Jewish. It doesn't make us any more Jewish. We're Jews. That's what defines us is more than the color of our skin. It's Yossi and his hat and his black coat, his these are the things that define who he is. He's a Jewish man, young man.
Do you ever feel that there might be some spiritual purpose to your unpacking this for people? Do you know what I'm saying? Do you wonder in a way that there's...
A few years back, I thought this may be the reasons why I had some opportunities to bring people in that had never really been exposed to, maybe not even Jews at all, but certainly not Hasidic Jews. And for them to, for the first time ever, to really meet and to be able to, you know, to just bridge. And these didn't happen to be African-American people. These were, you know, other people, just to educate. And I think once we educate each other about each other, a lot of times the color thing, it just falls away because you find out that everybody is human and we're of the human race. So possibly, I mean, we don't know.
All things in time.
It's an issue that my family and I, we've talked about exploring for a while. And, you know, Yosef, he's a writer. And so we're hoping that maybe we might be able to put together a book to help people.
Dina Abramson, her children Sarah and Yosef were kind enough to join us in our New York Bureau and sharing their story with us. Thank you so much for coming to see us and sharing your story. Thank
Michelle,
you all of you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.